Keep awake, therefore, because you do not know the hour or the day. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. It's so good to have everyone here today so that we can worship with one voice and one heart. Late last month, I attended a conference in Indianapolis with about 300 other faith leaders from around the country. Different religions were well represented, as well as different skin colors and accents and cultural identities. The event was sponsored by PICO. It's a national nonpartisan group that works for humane justice through faith-based organizations like churches and synagogues and mosques and any faith-based organization in any town. PICO stands for People Improving Communities Through Organizing. And the name of their conference was the Prophetic Resistance Summit. Seems kind of odd, prophetic resistance. But you know, resistance has real significant biblical warrant. I would argue that it's in our very bloodstream. Prophet after prophet challenged and resisted the ruling elite. Moses against Pharaoh. Elijah against Jezebel and her husband Ahab. Nathan against David and his supposed royal right to sleep with whomever he wanted, including Bathsheba, another man's wife. Jesus supremely challenged the ruling elite, and in all cases, their tactic was one of dialogue and resistance. So when Jesus said, "Do not resist an evildoer," he's not advocating capitulation to evil. What has been translated, "Do not resist," should more accurately read, "Do not resist violently." The rest of the verse says, "But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." Turning the other cheek is actually a form of resistance. Marcus Borg and other theologians have pointed out that striking the right cheek with the right hand is a backhanded slap. It's a gesture of superiority. Turning the other cheek rejects the power dynamic of a social superior who would humiliate a lesser soul. We are not to return evil. We are not to capitulate to it. That's what Jesus taught. That's what Jesus lived. Key to all of this, to resisting evil, is understanding who we are. Better said, it's understanding who we are not. We're not alone. We are not isolated, insulated, freestanding entities who have no bearing on anyone else. Our actions, thoughts, and motives matter. Imagine if every thought you were thinking could be heard. We are that connected. We are part of a resilient web of life. What we do matters because we're all connected. But this is actually a spiritual task. Not everybody gets this. A man who wanted to do great things for God once approached Mother Teresa. He said, "I don't know what to do for God. Should I start a school? Should I build a charity? Should I go to the foreign mission field like you?" She said, "What you need to do is make sure that no one in your family goes unloved." She meant his biological family. She also meant his human family. Everyone is connected. If everyone is connected, then you are not safe if others are at risk. Your liberty is intrinsically linked to mine. My freedoms are linked to yours. Living into this reality calls for a higher order of living. It takes maturity, moral courage, a willingness to share. Our little individual egos will not, cannot carry this load. We must die to self, the selfish, grasping part of us that is me-centered. We can't be me-centered and Christ-centered at the same time. It just can't happen. It's one or the other. Pick one, just like Joshua said today. Pick whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The prophets of our religious past resisted evil in their society. It was a lot of the stuff that we got today. The ills of their time are the ills of our time. Economic inequality, hostility towards outsiders, unfair disadvantage of not being in the privileged class. But in today's America, we like to think that we have addressed those disadvantages. Most of us have lived through the Civil Rights era. We saw President Johnson sign the Civil Rights Act in 1964. We have lived through and supported affirmative action. We have watched voters' rights being enacted. But unfair disadvantage is embedded in our society. Consider jails. Black people are 5 times more likely to be incarcerated than whites. Black people only make up 13% of the U.S. It's a huge disproportion. Police statistics are also revealing. The Center for Policing Equity, it's a research group in New York, they say that although police officers don't use force very often, it's less than 2% of all encounters with the public, the use of force is disproportionately higher for African Americans, more than 3 times greater than for whites. Make sure no one in your family goes unloved. The conference that I attended caught the attention of Nativity's Tuesday book group. They're reading something called The Myth of Equality, which covers much of what I learned in Indianapolis. For example, the term white supremacy, you know, it's kind of an inflammatory term. You think of the Ku Klux Klan and skinheads. It can actually be defined in two ways. The first is what's called hard white supremacy. It is the intentional building and maintaining of white power by those who don't believe in equality. But then there's soft white supremacy, and that is the benefit that comes to some from racialized systems. So it doesn't have hatred, you know, it doesn't have a template of inequality. It's just unearned benefits. As white people, we don't expect to be tailed by a sales clerk when we go into a store, keeping an eye on us. But our brown-skinned and black-skinned neighbors, no, they don't have that same level of welcome. This is not right. This is not right. We are complicit with injustice unless we resist it. But what does that mean? Very few of us are going to pick up signs and march. You know, very few of us are going to call our member of Congress, although we could. It's not a bad thing to do. Besides those, there are many things we can do. The model of change we learned at the conference was awaken, agitate, act. Simple. Wake up. Jesus says it all the time. He said it in today's scripture. Recognize the state of the world today. Wake up is one of the key concepts of every single spiritual master and every single world religion. The way Jesus typically said it was, be born again. Open your eyes. Come alive. When we wake up, we become aware of just how badly many people in the world and in our country are suffering. And when you wake up and you see that, then you suffer too. Richard Rohr says, those who love much suffer much. And I would add that those who suffer with the suffering love much. Make sure no one in your family goes unloved. Awaken comes first. Agitate is next. Agitation isn't violence. When Rosa Parks sat down on the bus, she didn't do anything violent, but she did agitate. And she did break the law. Was it a crime to sit in the front of the bus? Martin Luther King said that human laws have to align with God's laws for there to be true justice. In Indianapolis, we heard stories about people who are subject to deportation, like a man named Carlos. He is presently living in sanctuary in a church there in Indianapolis. Those who are protecting him have a Twitter account. And when the deportation officials arrive, they send out a message, and those who receive it drop, whatever they're doing, come and form a human ball around Carlos so that he cannot be handcuffed and dragged away. It is nonviolent, it is resisting, and it's probably against the law. Awaken. Agitate and act. Acting also is not violent. It can be as easy as gentle speech. In another week or so, a lot of folks are going to be gathered around the Thanksgiving table, multiple generations of family members. Grandma may use a racial slur. Not in hatred, it's just the way they talked back then. Don't let that pass. But don't do violence to Grandma either. Don't dishonor her. Simply but firmly tell the children, we don't talk that way anymore. Grandma's generation talked that way. But now we know that kind of speech hurts people. Simple. Please do not fret. The people who don't look like us are also gathering around Thanksgiving tables and also have multiple generations and also maybe saying unkind things. It's often called reverse discrimination. Don't fret about that. Alcoholics Anonymous has a saying, sweep your own side of the street. Awaken, agitate, act. That's a good model for changing the things that hurt many people in our country. And it doesn't depend on your politics. It's apolitical. When others suffer, because we're joined in a net, a web of life. Refuse to participate in the cycle of violence. When you refuse to do that, you refuse to be a helpless victim or a heartless monster. This way, we reaffirm our own humanity and that of those who would dehumanize us. Make sure no one in your family goes unloved.